everyone. Welcome to another episode of Lessons Learned Podcast, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. My name is Suzanne, and I'm the head coach at Grace. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Lessons Learned, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. It is my honor and privilege this morning to welcome David Laban. David is one of my colleagues in the financial coaching world. I am Suzanne. I am your head coach at Grace Financial Coaching, and I am super excited to talk to David about the dumbest thing he's ever done with money. How are you, David?
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. So I appreciate you joining me today. Give us a background on Money Under Control as your coaching practice, and particularly how you came up with the name of the company. It's different.
Yeah. So I'll do the name first. If you've ever seen the show Friends, there's a character in there named Monica, who's the controlling one. And there's a scene where it's right after her and Chandler get married. Chandler's gone for the day and she has all the presents in her living room. And she's sitting there and she's trying to control herself and not open them. And so she's talking with Phoebe and she says, well, I guess I could just open one. So she opens a small one and in a very Monica voice, she's like, a tiny salt shaker. And then she's like, well, you know what? It's technically part of a set. So we could open two. And Phoebe hands her one that's the same size. She's like, yeah, it's probably this one. And then Monica goes, or this one, and grabs one that's like 10 times bigger. And then by the end of the episode, she's opened all of them. And when Joey walks in, he's like, you opened them without Chandler? And she's like, Joey, I'm out of control. And I remember, I'm a big fan of Friends, I've watched it many times. And I remember when I was thinking of the name for my business, I was like, control. Okay, and I started playing around with it. And then she's like, I'm out of control. I thought, Money Under Control.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So that's how the name came to be. So when someone asks me, how do I get my money under control? I will ask them many questions back. Like, what does that mean for you? It could mean something different to everybody. It could mean, help me pay off my student loan. I've never done a budget before. I need to invest for retirement. Or I have no debt. I have lots of money. I just don't know how to track it. Or
right.
I got to figure out what to do with retirement. I'm retiring in 5 years. So getting your money under control can look very different.
Right, right. Beverly appreciates your name story. Hi, Bev. Good morning. So I was actually going to ask that because we as financial coaches often hear that phrase, I need to get my money under control. Mm-hmm. When you're coaching someone, obviously as a financial coach, your primary focus with them is their money. What have you noticed other areas of people's lives to be out of control when they use the phrase, my money is out of control? Are there any other aspects that are usually a little haywire, or do they usually have everything else under control and then the money is just one piece of it?
That's a good question. I would say time.
Time.
Time is a big one. A lot of times with my clients, we will do a whole session, maybe several, on budgeting your time. Dave Ramsey says this, he'll say, name one thing that money doesn't touch in your life or it doesn't affect. So really, if your money is out of control, there's probably something else. I've seen it to where people's drinking habits are out of control. I once saw in a budget that person was spending almost $1,000 a month on alcohol. And I asked, I said, are you hosting cocktail parties or something? Are you going out with friends and just saying, hey, first round's on me. Like, what does this look like?
Sure.
And it was all for that individual. So that opened up a whole can of worms that had nothing to do with the money.
Wow.
On a much deeper issue. So to answer your question, yes, I've seen it in many, many other areas.
Oh my gosh. That's a really interesting example. I have a confession to make. When the pandemic first started and we weren't going to restaurants and bars anymore, I was like, why are our groceries $1,000 for two people? I was like, what? So this is the beginning of 2022 or like mid 2022, right? I'm like, this is insane. So I did like a little bit of I basically, instead of just taking the receipt from Aldi and dragging and dropping it into my budgeting app, I went through the receipts and it turns out all of that restaurant money was going to a bottle of wine here,
yeah.
A bottle of, you know, we had, cause we couldn't have it, you know, we couldn't, we had right. Two neighbors in the house and we bought a bottle of bourbon, you know, yep. To make Manhattans with or whatever it was. Yep. And so all of a sudden I realized like, not only was the restaurant money going into the groceries, we were spending way more bringing alcohol into the house,
yep.
Because otherwise this would have translated to two drinks at the bar,
right.
But it was turning into an entire bottle of whiskey because
yep.
We didn't go anywhere.
Yep. Yep. And this was before the pandemic.
Oh, geez.
This was before that. So I could understand during the pandemic that you know, if you were normally going to indulge under that pressure, you'd probably indulge a bit more. Totally get it. This was like a few months before that. Wow. This is back when people were saying, oh, there's something in China. What a riot. Like, right.
It's never going to come here. Don't worry right. about it.
Yeah.
I know. So we are so much smarter now. And in a year, yeah. we'll look at this recording and we'll go, God, we were such idiots back then, too.
Yep.
So, David, I created this show to help people realize we all make financial mistakes, particularly financial coaches. It's usually why we're in the business. So what is the dumbest thing? Oh, good morning, Carrie. Carrie says hi.
Hi,
good to be with you, Carrie. We were just talking about you, Carrie. Ears must have been ringing. What is the dumbest thing you've ever done with money, David?
Let's see. I was in my early 20s, and at the time I was working for my dad's landscaping business, making great money. I also had a lot of perks where I used my car for the business, my phone, so I didn't have to pay for a phone bill, car insurance, car maintenance, gas, none of that. All of that was included. And after a while, I eventually wanted to change careers. I was wanting to work in the kids ministry at my church. Mm. And I was in training to be the pastor, but I had to start as an intern. So keep in mind, working in business, making great money with all these perks, and then I transferred that to go to work in ministry, which I believe was a good decision. It was what I was supposed to do. However, I did not do the proper thing and prepare for what that adjustment would look like. So I was like, oh, I'm sure you have to factor in gas. No problem. Like, how much could it be? It's not that big a deal. And after my first paycheck, between my phone bill, my gas, an oil change, a few other things just from life, my entire paycheck was gone. And I had an emergency fund. So that was good. But I remember thinking, I still have other stuff I need to do. And I, you know, now looking back, like, well, duh, like, you, of course, you're not, you're making less money and your expenses have gone up. Like, of course, it didn't look different. And I just was, you know, some 20 or 21 year old, like, oh, I'll figure it out. And so in that first month, it was really scary. I remember I had trouble sleeping at night. That pressure was real. And there was no debt. There was nothing like that. But I couldn't afford just to live on that salary. So after 1 month, I realized, like, this isn't going to work. So I went and got several different side hustles. I tutored guitar lessons, tutored English as a second language, and found a bunch of other things I could do on the side to make up for the rest of the money. And then from then on, it was fine. But that first month was very stressful, was exhausting, and it didn't have to be. I could have properly prepared.
Yeah, that is so interesting. It's one of the things that I have a business degree, and I distinctly remember, I couldn't tell you what class it was, right? They all blend together after as many years as I've been out of college. But one, I distinctly remember there must have been some sort of, nope, I know what it was. I worked in as a work study position in college in the career development office. And as a work study in there, I helped people with resumes and I input their information into the alumni system and would get them connected with other alumni who worked at companies they wanted to work at, blah, 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 blah. And one of the things I was taught to train other people on was to compare benefits of jobs. That's what it was. Mm. And so we would say, okay, are you getting your cell phone paid for? Yes. What is your cell phone bill every month? It's $85 a month. Okay, well, now we have to add $85 back. What is the and mostly, usually the number one thing people compare is health insurance, right? Because you could have a Cadillac health insurance plan and all of a sudden you making and then go and make $50,000 more, but have a Pinto health insurance plan at the better job, right? And so we were mostly taught to compare health insurance plans for those people. But I distinctly remember one of the things, okay, do you get a car at this job? Do you get your cell phone paid? What are some other perks? How much vacation time do you get?
Well, that was another one. Didn't even factor that one in.
Yeah, a vacation time when you're a pastor is a misnomer, right? It's not real.
Yep.
That's so funny. So what would you, let's focus on this. You believe, how long were you in that job? You believe it was the right job for you at the time? Tell me a little bit about that.
I did it for 10 years.
So, oh my gosh, I had no idea.
Yeah, so I was a kids pastor for about 10 years. Now, a few years of that was like from intern to director, had to go to seminary. So there was some training in there. But I was essentially doing that job and slowly worked my way up. So I loved doing it. I believe that was specifically what I was supposed to do for that season. I could have prepared and planned ahead of time. I could have, one, just asked for help. And I'm not even talking about once I realized how bad of a situation I was in. I mean, before I'm like, hey, before I make this transition, anyone got any advice? But I was 20 and I thought I knew everything.
Oh, when you're 20, you do know everything. You didn't know that?
Now looking back, just like the sheer confidence I had, it's pretty humiliating. I'm like, I don't know how I can be so confident when I didn't know anything. Right. I'm older now. I'm 32 now. And I'm like, way more humble. I'm like, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
But I'm aware of that.
Mm-hmm. I will commend you on that, because sometimes it takes people till they get to 50 to realize they don't know anything. So good for you. How do you, so going back in time, you'd ask for more help. You'd sit down and you'd lay out the different benefits, obviously. Yep. How has this experience changed your, not only just your processes when it comes to something like this, when it comes to changing jobs or helping a friend who's changing a job? How do you think this experience applies to what you do as a financial coach now?
Good question. A phrase I've learned is it's okay not to be okay. You know, just to admit like, hey, I've got an issue here. It's okay. It's okay to admit that. And I will share the story with my clients, because sometimes they're just to even sign up with me or even call me took all the courage that they had. And then from there, they freeze. And that's when I will share the story. I'm like, hey, it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to be in a difficult position. We've made some mistakes, but there's hope. There's something on the other side. So that's what I remind people. And I even remind myself like, hey, it's okay that my clients are in some pain right now. I can't fix that. That's up to them. And they need to understand like, hey, it's okay. We can move forward. Don't stay here. Don't stay in the situation, but acknowledge it, own it, and move forward.
Yeah, definitely. What kind of clients are your favorite to work with? Do you have a niche?
Teachable.
What's that?
Teachable.
Teachable. Yes, exactly. The ones who want to learn, right?
Yeah.
Like that goes for coaching across the board, everybody. Like, I don't care if you're a personal trainer or a financial coach. We want someone who is teachable and willing to learn, right?
I think some that have a sense of humor that will, like, and again, like when I've seen some numbers or I've seen some decisions and, you know, they'll throw in a joke in there, not to like ignore it, but to just kind of make the situation a little bit light. Whereas with some people, when it's such a difficult decision, it's a tough conversation and it can be so heavy. So I think someone who can just make light of it in the moment and then take ownership. But I would say being teachable is one.
Right.
Is key. Sometimes they even teach me.
Oh gosh. Yeah, exactly. I don't think I've ever wrapped up a 6 or 12 month program with a client and not say that I learned something from them, for sure. And sometimes it's not necessarily about the client. It's about myself. It's like, I probably shouldn't have taken that client on. Maybe they weren't ready.
Oh,
or yeah. Sounds like you have experience with that.
Yep. I was so obsessed with having a certain number of clients. I wasn't focused on, is this the kind of client I want to work with?
Yes.
Or do they really want to work with me? Are they there? Are they ready? I've had people I've reached out to starting a year and a half ago that have just signed up with me last month.
Yep.
Because they finally got to a place that they're ready. And I was like, I told them, I'm glad you said no at first.
Yeah. Right. Because if they had started with you and said yes, it would have ended in, we can't do this. It's not the right time. We've got to stop that. You know, it would have just been a painful experience. I always tell people, and I know I've said it on here before, you can't tell a toddler when it's time to be potty trained. And you can't tell an adult it's time to stop smoking. Both of those people have to decide those things on their own, unfortunately. Yeah. They have to be ready.
Yeah.
So, well, David, this has been a lot of fun. Where can people reach you if they are looking for your advice?
They can find me on Facebook right under David Bethany LeBon. It's me and my wife's name. You can also go to Money Under Control. That's my website.
Excellent.
If you guys got any questions, let's have a conversation. Let's get your money under control.
Definitely. David, thank you again for joining me. I am really appreciative of your honesty and you sharing your financial blunders. Everybody, join us next week.
Make sure to subscribe to the Grace Financial Coaching YouTube channel, and please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.